Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Are there different things you can do at different ages to help prevent breast cancer? As your age looms on, do you get more worried about these things and others? Is there something that we can do prevention-wise to give us just a little bit more of peace of mind? My guest is Dr. Leslie Bernstein. She's the director of City of Hope's Division of Cancer Etiology. So, Dr. Bernstein, are there some modifiable risk factors? We understand that there are risk factors at any age that are just genetic or inherent. We can't change them. But what about the modifiable ones? Start with women in their 20s and 30s. Are there things we can do?
There certainly are. One of the more important ones is having babies. Of course, you know, it's difficult to prescribe to women to have a child and when to have a child. But we know that the younger a woman is when she has her first child, the lower her breast cancer risk is on a relative scale. So it has been shown over and over that having children actually lowers your risk of breast cancer. And when you have a baby, breastfeeding contributes more protection. We can't say that it actually prevents it, but on average in the population, women who have children and have them young and breastfeed their children will have lower risk than women who never have a child at all.
Now, since women are younger and younger starting on birth control, Dr. Bernstein, is there something we should know about birth control and the risk for breast cancer? Do we ask for a lower dosage? Does that put you at risk? More at risk for pregnancy? How does all of that combine?
Well, you know, with oral contraceptives, there's been a long history of what the composition of the pill is. And early on, we were really concerned that the oral contraceptives, which had higher doses of an estrogen compound than they do now, we worried that those pills would increase women's risk, and they may have. But the composition of oral contraceptives today with low doses of estrogen and specific progestins, the progesterone content of the pill, do not seem to put women at higher risk for breast cancer. The combined world's data actually showed that it may have moved the diagnosis date earlier. In other words, it may have caused greater proliferation in the old days of a breast cancer that was in the works, but today we don't caution women at all. The oral contraceptives, even with the low doses, don't put you at greater risk for a pregnancy.
Now, so what about as we start to get into our 50s? Is weight gain, I mean, there's natural weight gain for most of us that starts kind of packing on a little bit. And, of course, we're going to talk about physical exercise, but, I mean, what about weight gain? Is that considered a risk?
Yes, especially among women as they age. So the interesting thing is when women are young, if they're overweight, their risk of breast cancer may actually be a little bit lower because it may cause menstrual cycles to be irregular, and that helps. And I know we're going to talk about the hormones in a minute. But as women age, gaining weight can increase their risk of breast cancer. The reason is after a woman goes through menopause, her ovaries stop producing estrogen and progesterone. And when women gain weight, in the body fat, there's actually an enzyme that causes estrogen to be produced in the body. So it's happening when you don't expect it. So we always tell women, try not to gain weight as you age.
Well, so what about the hormone levels? So if we were to keep exercising, keep ourselves active, does that influence the hormone levels and thereby, you know, our risk for breast cancer?
You know, that was the hypothesis that led me to study physical activity many, many years ago. People now are trying to look for other mechanisms. I still believe it's that physical activity lowers your hormone levels at every age. So when you're young, it may even delay the onset of a first menstrual cycle if you're a child. And as you go through your teenage years and early 20s, it's been shown that physical activity lowers circulating estrogen levels, causes menstrual cycles to be irregular. We know that athletes even stop having menstrual cycles temporarily when they're in training. And this is good, because we believe that this will reduce women's risk of breast cancer. When you're an older woman, so now you're not having menstrual cycles, you're still producing some estrogen in peripheral tissue, like fat tissue, and physical activity can lower that production as well. So
What about hormone replacement? Because this is such a controversial topic, Dr. Bernstein, and estrogen, as we know, grows things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's wonderful to grow a baby, but do we want that? And is now hormone replacement kind of being a little bit outdated?
I would say yes, in a way. Not that it's outdated, but that it has to be used with great care. So among women who have no ovaries, taking estrogen really does not increase their risk of breast cancer, because their ovaries are gone, and so it really stops hormone production altogether. But among women who continue to have a uterus and ovaries, they, of course, prescribed in the past estrogen plus a progestin, and this has been shown in study after study, including a clinical trial, to increase women's risk of breast cancer. There are some beneficial effects, but a woman needs to balance the beneficial effects with the increased risk of breast cancer. The amount of risk isn't great, so 5 years of using hormone replacement therapy, the combined hormone replacement therapy, would increase a woman's risk about 25% compared to a woman who never took hormones. So it doesn't mean 25% of women will get breast cancer. It says that compared to a woman who didn't use hormones, your risk is elevated.
Now, at any point in our aging process, Dr. Bernstein, does food play a role in our risk for breast cancer? And are there hormone, you know, so soy, we've been told, especially if you're a breast cancer survivor, to steer clear of the phytoestrogens and things. Tell us a little bit about food products and how they might help us to prevent breast cancer.
Yes, we've tried. Tried looking at every type of food product to see what might increase risk of breast cancer. The Women's Health Initiative actually altered women's intake of fat dramatically. I don't even know how these women managed to eat so little fat in their diet, and compared the women who were on the really low-fat diet to women who were consuming their normal amount of fat in the diet. And they interpreted their results as not showing any protection against breast cancer of a low-fat diet. If you look at their data, however, there was a small decrease in risk. We always attach statistical certainty to the research that we do, and the problem here was that it didn't achieve that statistical certainty that we look for. But it's a hint. And so we always recommend at any age, limit the fat in your diet. Don't overeat fatty foods. We've looked at a number of other things like fiber in the diet or whether you consume meat or milk. And the problem is that mostly when we look at diet, we're looking at it a few years before we measure breast cancer in the population we're studying. And it's probably not valid. What we really need is to know sort of over your lifetime, what did you consume? And those data are really hard for us to collect.
Well, and the message is to keep physically active, eat as healthy as you can, keep your fat levels down as much as you can. The modifiable risk factors, ladies, are what we can work on. So this is what we have to do in this month of breast cancer awareness. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.